This time, Barbara Friedman joins me in studio. Let me know what's trending online. Of course, her team looks after our social media as well as our official website. There's lots of fake websites, but there's only one, capetalk.co.za. Good morning, Barbara Friedman. You make it through the weekend.
I did. I actually had a lovely, lovely weekend.
Okay.
I know that's... I don't often say that.
I'm still waiting for Bongani's coffee to hit in.
Okay.
Bongani is the guy from Google Etu Coffee here in our studios. I'm working off adrenaline.
I went to the Vans duct tape surfing comp in Musenberg.
Oh, wow.
At the Surfers Corner yesterday. And despite it starting in the rain, well, it's been going for a few days, it actually turned into the most... I love Musenberg. Mm. It's just this mixture of amazing people.
It's my home. It's my home.
But you see, you should have come to the comp.
I now live in the northern parts
of
the city.
I know, it's a trek for you.
I miss the south. Anyway, a video, this video is from 2020, but I see it has resurfaced. It's about a Nigerian official. He was the chairperson of some sort of development corporation in Nigeria, being detailed... to him, allegations of money misappropriation,
right,
which goes into the millions of dollars. And the video shows him what many people are saying is him pretending to pass out. And it's quite hysterical. It's quite elaborate.
It really is hysterical. So it's in what looks like the Nigerian parliament. So if you imagine our parliament and that where people are sitting at their different, at their desks, and he's now being interrogated about this misuse of public funds. And he starts to put his head on his desk and, you know, go into this complete state of like unconsciousness, and he's sort of falling about. It's been viewed. It was shared again recently by Africa in Focus, and it's been viewed over 18.5 million times.
Wow.
But I mean, just, I know South Africans are going to love watching this. So I do swear to put this up on capetalk.co.za so that people can go and have a look at this official supposedly fainting after he was grilled about missing funds. But what a performance. Would you ever pretend to faint so you could get out of something that you did wrong?
Well, it's like telling your mom I have a tummy ache and therefore I don't want to go to school. But he kind of sort of slumps over into his arms, and then he does this elaborate eye roll, which either takes a lot of, acting chops or...
Bad acting, possibly.
Bad acting chops.
Yeah, I mean, they discussed calling an ambulance. And look, I don't know. You know, obviously, this was in 2020 and it's being reshared now. But it's one of those things which just is one of those videos that I can see why it's gone viral. And there have been memes now made of it. Can you imagine? That is just so meme-worthy.
But have you ever seen someone in trying to get out of trouble do something?
Not like that.
I have. And it was at a place that I used to work. And there was a... This is many, many years ago. Probably almost 20 years ago, and the boss had a bit of a chow of this employee. It was a bit of a public dressing down, and then the staffer collapsed, fell at the knees and just collapsed, and then lay there motionless. And everyone in the office thinks, what the heck is going on? And then they call the paramedics, and the person, and you know, we try and make the person comfortable. You put them in the recovery position because we don't know. But none of the signs are there. It's just like this person has gone to sleep.
Right.
And then the paramedics came, revived. I don't know how they... You managed to play this role for about 15, 20 minutes. The paramedics came, revived them, put them on the stretcher. And as they're wheeling this person out, paramedics leans over to someone. And of course, it is now spread throughout the office.
Of course.
There's nothing wrong with this person. This was all...
It was all a hoax.
This was all a way to get out of this dressing down.
That's quite extreme.
This person has carried this with them
for the rest of their lives. Yeah, what extremes would you go to? I don't know which is more embarrassing. Getting the dressing down or actually
everyone knows that you pretend fainted. I'll take the dressing down.
So would I.
Next up on our diary is...
Well, this story actually kind of went viral towards the end of last week, but I think it's worthy of a discussion, isn't it? So the question is, if you suddenly saw in your bank account that you'd been paid more than three times your salary for the month, what would you do? I think most of us would tell our company, as did this particular person in Chile, who works as a dispatch assistant at the cold meats manufacturer of Consorcio Industrial de Alimentos. And he received a paycheck of what was over 165 million Chilean pesos, which is the equivalent of $180,000, or in rands, I did write that down and now it's gone, it's got away from me. $180,000 in rands. Is,
I think it's 160 million Chilean pesos.
It's 2.9 million rand. But I know it's not the same thing to just transcribe that. But anyway, that's the amount of money we're talking about. So he did contact his company and his HR, and he said this had happened to him. So he would normally get obviously a fraction of that per month. And he sort of, they said, okay, well, that's fine. And then he sort of agreed to return the cash and promised to go to the bank the following day. But he changed his mind. Instead of doing that, he withdrew the money and hasn't been seen since. He took the money and ran.
Would you? I guess it all depends on how traceable you are. If you were sort of a blue collar guy.
Well, he was a dispatch assistant.
A blue collar guy who can just sort of disappear into... And as John says, I'd immigrate to Mexico if you can make it across the border very quickly with that money. Then why not? But if you're in an interconnected world and your ID number and your movement and cell phone is everything, it'd be very difficult.
I mean, it's interesting because the amount he was earning is about half the sort of average take-home pay in Chile. So he was not a high earner. And I suppose you've got to weigh up and think, will this money like this ever be in my possession in my lifetime?
Well, it reminds me of the Walter Sisulu University student who got
I was thinking that too.
But there's one thing about a company paying you too much. What about, I worked at a company and you have
as well.
Where,
They
once didn't pay us, not because of they didn't have money, it was because someone didn't hit the button.
Right.
And I think that is,
I feel we should have been compensated for that.
Exactly, that's far worse.
But I mean, they didn't even explain themselves, because as I always say about these things, companies are quick, or banks or anyone, they're always quick to come at you hard if you don't pay them, but they do it to you and there's no consequence.
And finally, there is a Ukrainian delicacy that is now on the UNESCO endangered heritage list. What is it and why?
Yeah, so this is the UN cultural agency, and it's added the cooking of borscht, which is a soup usually made with beetroot and potatoes, and it's added this particular soup in Ukraine, to its list of endangered intangible cultural heritage. So why is the soup being threatened? Well, I mean, it also goes back to the fact that borscht, this soup that is made from beetroot, has always been a bit of a battle between countries like Ukraine and Russia. So apparently this has been something that has been tweeted about for years, the borscht wars, they call it. So I suppose it's a bit like claiming where the original borscht comes from. But obviously, because of the war, some of the local folk who make borscht in the most traditional way are no longer able to do so, and so they're worried that this is going to get lost through history.
Is there anything from your childhood that you just don't see made anymore? Of course, you come from a lovely Ashkenazi Jewish
In my personal life, I mean, I'm not religious, and the only I used to eat those kinds of foods on the high holidays, and my mum made them, obviously having learned that from her mum. And now that they are all gone, it's not something I make. And yes, of course, you can go look up the recipes, but there's something about handing down those like bits of paper from your gran to your mum, which I suppose, I don't know whether I will ever.
What would you say would be a South African equivalent?
Yes.
Like I haven't had Do you know Omar Onedikombes?
No.
It's like a fricadelle, but wrapped in a steamed cabbage leaf.
Okay, which is also quite an Eastern European dish.
I remember that quite often as a child. I haven't seen it being prepared or served. I haven't seen it sold at a market. And it's something really your grandmom would make. But what would you consider as a South African dish that could be lost to time? And of course, what is a South African dish? We are an amalgamation of so many cultures and tastes.
Yes.
But what's something that you miss?
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because a lot of those dishes are kind of not in fashion anymore in the way that people eat in a more modern world. I mean, I'm not knocking them at all. It's like a lot of the stuff that came up in our family was very hearty Eastern European cuisine, which was like quite stodgy and kind of for very cold climates. You know what I'm saying? So like now we eat a lot lighter. But it is sad that those things are possibly going to be lost in the annals of time.
Very true. Catherine's saying Barbara's mum made excellent borscht. So,
and she did actually.
Is it?
Yeah. And then we'd have like a boiled potato in it. It was quite a clean sort of smooth, clear borscht.
See if you can revisit.
And then you put sour cream and boiled potato in it. My father absolutely loved
well,
that.
Well, see if you can revisit it and you can bring me some.
I know.
Barbara Friedman with our Bob's Wise. She's on here with us every morning just after 9:30.